Good morning and welcome to Family Life. Your host, Shamina Muhammad and Dr. Nadia Muhammad. Dr. Muhammad will join us within the next few weeks. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, The Rod Speaks. Bismillah, Hafman, and Ahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I greet the listening audience. Assalamu alaikum. This week's discussion of family life, we have an erudite from our community, Brother Ibrahim Sharif. Brother Ibrahim Sharif has an epigrammatic persona. Bringing his works, and as he would put it, deeds of the law to the community. Brother Ibrahim Sharif was appointed by the New Jersey Governor James E. McGreevy as Executive Director of the New Jersey State Martin Luther King Jr. Commemorative Commission in 2002. After serving as Commissioner for 6 years under the leadership of former Governor Christy Todd Whitman. Recently, Brother Sharif was reappointed to the MLK Junior Commission by former Governor John Corzine and Chris Christie. As a former government representative at the New Jersey State Parole Board managing reentry programs to ensure organization and structure, efficacy, quality assurance, transparency, and measured outcomes, with a rewarding career over 30 years at Merck and Company. Started as a janitor, chemical operator, certified electrician, and secretary of Local 8-575. Supervisor for Executive Chauffeur Services, Supervisor of Site Security and Food Services, and Coordinator for Community Relations, Public Affairs, and 5 years as Special Confidential Aide to Mayor James Kennedy of Rahway, New Jersey. Brother Sharif brought the New Jersey State Parole Board his genuine and unique sense of style, expertise, and knowledge in educating the public and private sectors of the importance of economical networking, shared services, the power of human capital, and one's ability to revitalize their human character. For example, he spearheaded an initiative by bringing Merck & Company to the New Jersey SPB to support a patient assistance program. Roy P. Vagelos, later leading to the Vagelos Scholars Rahway High School program. I want to pause here and say welcome to the Ibrahim Sharif.
Thank you, Sister Salima Muhammad. In the name of Almighty Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, I am honored in the spirit of this program, spearheaded by my brother and yours, your uncle, the Honorable Murad Muhammad. So I'm here to listen, to interact with you, and just be grateful that I can be of service.
Thank you. Brother Ibrahim, you're not new to the community. In 1991, you received the Governor's Volunteer Award and spearheaded the establishment of the P. Roy Badgerow Scholarship. This scholarship awarded 30 students from the Rahway High School program. Five of those students are now doctors. Several of them went to the University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, and Columbia School of Medicine. We recently spearheaded a partnership between Rutgers University and the Rahway School District, successfully encouraging the Rahway School District to name the extension of the Franklin School the Dr. P. Roy Badgerow's Childhood Learning Center. Can you tell us more about this program?
Well, I have somewhat altered it unprofessionally, the I to we. I know that if we are wise and we respect the intelligence and wisdom of others who are sincere, whose intent is sincere, we can accomplish many great things. So the Badgerow Scholars was a program that Dr. Badgerow saw at his alma mater, which he graduated from Rahway High, that the students should be reaching for the stars. And when that hit his moral humanity, he began to put things in motion. And I was one of the catalysts that worked with him to work with the superintendent of schools and the principals and the teachers and the security guards. Everyone is included to make this happen. So the students began to think big. And the way they thought big was to make sure that their performance in the classroom was relative to thinking big. What do you mean? That their outcomes of their GPA, Scholastic Aptitude Tests, their college exams, they exemplified the results of what it means to work hard. So they worked hard, and they went to the top 25 universities in the United States. This is an urban school district, keep in mind. Dr. Vagelos and his wife, Mrs. Diana Vagelos, not only financially funded them to come to go to those top schools, but when they came out of the top schools in their undergraduate degree, they did not owe one dime, paid for it. Not only that, he gave each one of them a laptop. It was 30 students. He wanted more than 30 students, but we did what we had to do with what we had to work with. But with the superintendent, Edward Yagalonis, the principal, John Farinella, and teachers in the school system, what was beautiful about that, that can be transported anywhere in the world, is when you have people who are working together for a common cause. And that's what they did. And these students began to excel. Although Rahway School District is noted as an urban school district, they began to excel and did not look at the systemic barriers that are not from a wealthy community. Their goals and aspirations were much higher because they had the support of Dr. and Mrs. Vagelos, the administrators, the teachers, their parents. That was the success of their evolution, to become Badgerow Scholars. And what was even more so beautiful about this initiative, Mr. Yorgalonis, he was who we call, Dr. Badgerow's called him the coach. Not only was he the superintendent and the principals, they were their family. Moral, common, academic excellence. These students began to take AP Science, AP Chemistry, AP literature, they could English, and they just excelled and they were motivated. Now, we can go on and on. And when the coach, Mr. Edward Yorgalonis, working with Dr. Vagelos and his son, Andrew Vagelos, and bringing over 16, if not more, AP courses, which was never there before, to the Rahway School District. Now we have begun to turn the culture, Rahway being looked at as an urban school district, into an institution of excellence achievement. And that program itself catapulted and inspiring other students to become the best of the best. And on top of that, we worked hard, we put in a lot of hours and time. All of this, from my perspective, I volunteered my time. I never received one dime. And I always have said, my reward is with my Lord. Does that mean that money should not have been allocated? No, it doesn't mean that. But Ibrahim Sharif did it his way. I volunteered my service, my networks, my relationship with Dr. P. Roy Vagelos and his wife to make sure that these students would have a chance to achieve and not be labeled as an urban school district, because we know, Sister Muhammad, that knowledge has no color. It will be what you will make out of it in the annals of our people in history, from the shackles of slavery to where we are and how we help build this nation, is another example. Labels get in the way. And the Merck's and the Rutgers Future Scholars, after we had benchmarks of our achievements and the hard work, and I said our, I went to him one day in his office. I had a poster of Dr. and Mrs. Vagelos in the center of that poster with five doctors centered around them, the students who became doctors. They were African Americans, Chinese, Indians, young students. It was a very diverse group because I do not encourage playing the color game because knowledge has no color. But what happened with these students, after they had done the hard work, they never stopped. They encouraged other students. Mr. Yorgalonis, my dear friend, after we had done that and Dr. Vagelos saw the work, then we took on another task. I took him and his wife and the five doctors centered around him and his wife, and he said to me, Ibrahim, what do you want me to do now? And I mentioned to him, Dr. Vagelos, you and Mrs. Vagelos, if you consider the Rutgers Future Scholars, after we've done the Vagelos Scholars, and mind you, man, he wanted more than 30. But the Rutgers Future Scholars, let me get back to that. That program was designed to support from the 7th to the 12th grade, completing those years going into college, that if they work hard and do well, he will fund not only their evolution, their growth from the 7th to the 12th grade academically, but he would also fund their college tuition if they work hard and do well. This is a program that was for the first generation of students, being the first generation to go to college. And here we are in 2019, 2020, talking about this day and family members that have never attended college. And what was done is those students was given the opportunity to become Rutgers Future Scholars, and we supported 15 cohorts each year that is contractually committed to by Dr. Vagelos for the next 6 years. If they work hard and do well, and I did the numbers, working with Dr. Vagelos and Mrs. Vagelos, working with the administrators in the school district, 120 students will go to college without only one dime for tuition. This is beautiful. After we talked about doing all of those great things. I finally asked the superintendent after he retired, Ed Yorgalonis, to track the performance of these students after they got out of college. And that is called the pursuit of excellence. These students have done so well, so motivated. I was just reading a student who, a engineer in physics, played a great part in this, developing this programs at NASA. And he was drinking an espresso, and he was looking at the capsule take off, the rocket take off, called him, and he said, "Boy, do I love my job." So that is the capture of it. We could talk about it for days, but this is history in the making. And when Dr. Vagelos and Mrs. Vagelos looked at what has been achieved, it's in writing, the pursuit of excellence. He said to me, Ibrahim, he said, this has never been done anywhere in the state. So I hope I answered your question.
Yes, we're going to take this a little further. So let's talk about that budget. I just want the listening audience to get an idea of what brother Ibrahim's efforts have achieved. So specifically with the MISE program, that's the Merck Institute of Science Education, supporting specific targeted school districts from K-12. We speak about a 20-year budget of over $6 million.
Yes.
Dr. Vagelos gifted 250 million dollars to Columbia Medical School students. The goal: to end student debt. Now, Brother Ibrahim made some specific points. We talked about this governor's award, volunteer award, that began in 1991. Now, Brother Ibrahim, this is during the time that you and I worked together at Merck. And I'm going to take a minute to point out, because this is important, I want the listening audience to know the proclivity of this brother's work and how it spreads through the community. And I'm going to do this with a personal experience of myself and my sister, the co-host, Dr. Nadia Muhammad. Now listen, during this time, Dr. Muhammad had just completed her undergraduate work in the sciences at Kane University in Union, New Jersey. So I was working for Merck Advet, which is in Woodbridge, New Jersey. And Merck took great initiative in training its employees in foundational leadership programs. And this is the truth. Individuals from all ethnic backgrounds, you will get a list of whom will be attending that particular workshop with you. And people, folks from all ethnic backgrounds, would say, "Oh my goodness, Ibrahim Sharif is going to be in this workshop. He's a profound speaker." So I was honored to be in attendance at some of these workshops. And the brother Ibrahim would always emphasize constantly with the future of this particular company and its direction in research. And I, at the time, was completing my undergraduate, so I'm always listening, not knowing where it would take me directly. So my sister, a resident of Rahway, New Jersey, at the time, as I stated, was completing her undergraduate in the sciences. And due to this information that Brother Ibrahim will constantly share, and Brother Ibrahim will want to bring it back to a point that you'll recall your daughter had just completed her doctorate program in chiropractic care. And we were at a fundraiser for Sister Michelina Islam, Sister Lillian also, who served, and Brother Robert J. Sister Lillian served as captain of the Nation of Islam for many years. And even at that function, he was emphasizing the importance of research. So I told my sister, I said, you, this is Dr. Muhammad, I said, you apply to Merck, company incorporated out of Rahway, New Jersey. And I said, you, they have programs specific to your interests. And I did this based on that consistent rhetoric. So Brother Ibrahim was putting his energy into the universe. And I'm listening. I didn't know what it meant or where it would take us. But listening to that rhetoric, you are what you think. And it's imperative to associate with a like mind. She applied and she ascertained a position with Merck Company Incorporated. But she specifically went into clinical trial studies. She worked on many Merck products. Januvia is one of them for diabetes. In fact, she started specializing in diabetes research, along with some other oncology research, et cetera, et cetera. So she said, Salima. I said, yes. She says, I'm going to start a doctoral program. I said, oh, how wonderful, how exciting. She started the doctoral program, and a year later, Salima, yes, you need to start the doctoral program. And I said, what are you talking about? Because we would speak about the clinical trials, and certainly I was working in that area and continue to work in that area in myself on different levels. And then I started teaching years later. And I taught K through 12 because I was an alternative teacher and I wanted to see the grade levels that I was interested in. So as Allah has it, not as Sister Flamin has it, but as Allah has it, I started teaching science. I started tutoring science students. And the excitement on the young people's face. So one of the instructors came to me, and she was from China. And I say this because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad always taught us to have friendships in all walks of life. And she said, Miss Muhammad, what are you doing here? I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean what I'm doing? What am I doing here? I'm here educating and teaching students. She said, you are so scholarly. You should really pursue a PhD program. I said, oh, it's funny you should mention that. My sister mentioned that to me. And I'm going to tell the listening audience, one of my foundations, certainly pursuing, and I was in the social sciences, so I developed an ability to interpret science, a very unique skill one can develop because scientists don't often know how to articulate the significance of what they're doing. They learn how to do studies and articles, but then they don't know the theories behind it. You have to take the theory, even in a PhD program. And I was very talented at that. And so as a result of that, I did decide to go for that PhD. I am a PhD candidate. I only have 3 courses to my dissertation, but my dissertation has begun. And I tell you all this why? Because that foundation, that rhetoric, became a part of my mental outlook. And one of the influencers is Brother Ibrahim Sharif. This is a true story. I have the opportunity to thank you live on this program, Brother Ibrahim.
Is it the Lima?
I'm here.
This is a universal energy throughout the world and in the heavens. Can we say in Arabic, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. And when you come from the heart, as Imam Muhammad says, God will open the windows of your mind. I have never stopped in being an advocate thanks to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to his son, Imam Maturidi Muhammad, and to the diaspora of our ancestors. Situation that I want to mention. I was born in Dothan, Alabama. And going to school barefoot in a one room with a potbelly stove at the age I was in kindergarten. And I was honored. Didn't know till years later I met a great woman face to face, our class did. I remember who brought her to our school. And she stood up in the car in a convertible. And she said to us, who am I? And we said, we knew she was coming, Mary McLeod Bethune. I remember her face like I'm talking to you over the phone, her hair, what she had on. The funeral directors, the one who brought her to our school. And she uttered these words, and I didn't realize the value of who I had laid my eyes and mind upon until years later. And she said, get a good education, and time will do the rest. So in the spirit of our ancestors, what you have achieved, and others, and my daughter, and my children, we do not let anything get in the way of knowledge. I have never stopped. My children attended to Clara Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad said, when he came into office in 75, I never forgot this, he said, If you can't afford to keep them in Clara Muhammad, put them in the public schools where you're paying taxes. And he said, worry them intelligently.
Mm.
I did that. I would take a week off of my vacation just to be in the schools. I was PTA, PTSO president in two schools at one time, working in the school systems. I never stopped, to the point that Merck saw the value in what I was doing voluntarily.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Vagelos, I did a presentation to his direct reports. I only had my volunteers who was working in the area of science and working in the area of what it means to do an interviews and also the trades, the mechanical trades, electrician, carpenter, pipe fitter, et cetera, HVAC, those who were not going to go to college. I had 15 minutes. I took 5 minutes and asked Dr. Vagelos, I would like to take my 15 minutes and share it with the other colleagues that I brought with you. He says, no, you take your 15 minutes. We'll just add it to the time agenda. I did. And he said, if Sharif can do this, what he's been doing, we can take what he's done and we could take it to another level. And that is how MISE was born. Merck Institute for Science Education. We wind up being in at least 6 school districts with hands-on science, teachers being trained. They were doing the hands-on science. Merck was providing all the apparatus they needed, and we were training the tilting the soil because we know in our public school system there was a shortage of science teachers. There was a lack of motivation in the science and math, so we began to tilt the soil. And when I looked up, we was in 6 school districts. Didn't even pay attention to it. I had about 20 scientists working with me. Dr. Vagelos said, Ibrahim, go to Dr. Cecil Pickett. He was working at Merck at the time. Dr. Pickett became president of research at Shearing Plot. East Orange, I worked in East Orange. We helped them to through our resources and our volunteers to relook at their science curriculum. They rebuilt the science labs in that school district. They got a science department chairperson for the first time. This is all work. The trades, the guys will come to the school district every marking period, mechanical drawing, instrumentation, electrician, pipe fitter, tinsmith, students who were not going to go to college but went to the technical schools. And every year we would bring them to Merck at each marking period. It was 4 cycles. The school bus would come. They would see the guys at their benches working and so forth and so on. They would come to Merck and Company. What was even more unique in the story one day must be told. We had ninth graders during the summer in the lab. We didn't care about that you had to be 18 years old to work in any company. We brought them there and they were paid a stipend working with scientists in the lab, and we paid the teachers a stipend working in the labs. And these students began to be inspired and determined. And if anything we wanted to do was track their performance, to track what they were doing, how they were doing what they were doing. And we even had some of the tradesmen. We went through the Board of Education process of having students work with some of our tradesmen, and they got paid after the school hours, during the summer, I should say. Hands-on science, because we also knew that a lot of the kids who never knew anything about the trades, about the vocational schools, the benefit of that was being able to go to school, which was a 4-year program, and to be able to get your certification from the U.S. Department of Labor, which means you can go anywhere in the United States and get the top wages. So that inspiration of academia and the trades, I'll insert this, that was very, very inspiring to me. My daughter Tanya was at New York Chiropractic School. I had three kids in college. Only I know that Allah was the provider in his own way. Some of them were completed. Some of them did not. Iris, for doing what I was doing, I got the management award. I got the governor's volunteer award. But this was not I. This was we. I received a check of $30,000 from the Vice President of Human Resources for the work that I was doing. And God knows, Allah knew I needed that money to help my baby at New York Chiropractic School. I gave that check back to him.
Outstanding.
Let me pause for a minute.
Absolutely. You know,
I said to him, there was 10 other people who helped me. I can't take this. He took the check back. I gave each one of the 10 people $2,000. Dr. Pickett got fired and I got fired. But as much as I needed that money, I never allowed money to lead my soul, my heart, and my mind, and my spirit. It was always Allah to do what's right.
Yes, sir.
To do, and I am still that way today. Some people say, Ibrahim, you should have been rich. Yes, I am, because I'm at peace with my Lord and peace with myself, but I'm no fool. But I will never, 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 and I say in my prayer constantly, I will never betray Allah.
Yes, sir. You know, this brings up a very important point. Before we go on, this program to listening audience is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, Jamal Steves. Brother Ibrahim, I want to speak for a few minutes about the global initiatives. Brother Ibrahim, 1989, brought together several African ambassadors and international dignitaries to work in a successful effort to fortify their country's relationship with milk to combat the disease onchocerciasis, also known as river blindness. Can you speak to that for just a few minutes?
I, as a thinking human being, saw the humanity and moral leadership of Dr. P. Roy Vatulis as chairman. I received an invitation from his office to come to a ophthalmology symposium in New York City. And I called the secretary and said, I think Dr. Vatulis made a mistake sending me this invitation. She says, no, he did not. He wants you to come. So, naturally, I went over the world dealing with cataracts, glaucoma, liver blindness, etc. I went. And after I saw that, I said, you know what? We have to put the emphasis on the importance in America, what he has done in Africa, in South American countries. It took me 2 years, a gentleman named Baloji Muhammad, who was representing the Harlem Third World Trade Institute, connected to the United Nations, and we brought in three ambassadors to American company from Burkina Faso, from Chad, and Cote d'Ivoire.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Payne was there. Everybody was there. And when we got up to the conference room of Dr. Vatulis, one of the ambassadors said to him, "We view Merck as the Messiah. View Merck as the Messiah." Because Dr. Vazelos worked with the WHO and President Carter to get Mectazan to where it was difficult for any type of transportation to get there. Now, at the end of the day, which is recent, when we look at the numbers over 30 years, and when he was CEO, he made a statement, "We will give this drug, Mectazan, as long as is needed for free." Over 30 years, 4 billion people have been served to date. 4 billion people have been served. I not only looked at Merck as an employee, but I looked at Merck as a moral consciousness to do what's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is absolutely a treat and privilege to discuss these works and legacy. Networking with healthcare agencies and a priority to support ex-offenders and their families. Brother Ibrahim joined with the Hines Foundation to support PAP for the underserved population. Currently as CEO of Catalyst 7 Networks, consultant, TE, leading by example, Brother Ibrahim subscribes to the belief of the Honorable Booker T. Washington,
yes,
who stated, "In all things that are purely social can be as separate as the fingers, yet one as the hand in all things essential to mutual progress." And I want to pause here because the engineer for this Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellence, continues the legacy of his great-grandfather, and that is the name Dr. Musa Abuli. And I wanted to give note to that. Thank you so much. You also attribute your business mindset, Brother Ibrahim, by a quote from Albert Einstein. "You don't use the same minds that created the problem to solve the problem." Furthermore, he noted, as a political navigator working with the citizens campaign in the state of New Jersey, further, Brother Ibrahim, from the President of Pathways of Peace, UN, by George Anthony, in honor of Larry Hazard Sr., the Commissioner of the Athletic Control Board for the State of New Jersey, over $80,000 was raised at this event. You were responsible for inviting Hollywood and sports celebrities such as Denzel Washington, Michael Coyle, Lennox Lewis, Joe Frazier, Michael Sphinx, Rich Lewis, Emmanuel Stewart, Larry Holmes, and many others. Chairman of Combat, an organization founded by Larry Hazard Sr. program to build healthy minds, bodies, and souls through the art of boxing, coupled with education, career development, and building character. Brother Ibrahim, if you can expound on this and tell our listening audience what this involved, who was that target population? You mentioned it briefly, but if you can expound on this, it would be most appreciated. Thank you.
Over the years, keep in mind this is all volunteerism, and I heard Imam Muhammad say, and those before him, his father, his wife, Sister Clara Muhammad, and those before her, going all the way back to those who have been responsible for our evolution in the country called the United States of America. I knew that since there was a likeness to the martial arts especially as well, we use that as a means to, I call, the bait to catch the fish. The real objective was education, career development, and building character. So I embarked upon this initiative with Commissioner Hazard at that time, and I was chairman of his board for combat for many years during that time. But I saw the value evolve coming through the Nation of Islam and FOI classes. It evolved into working at Merck. It evolved into working with education. It evolved into becoming the executive director of the Martin Luther King Commemorative Commission. It evolved into working with the New Jersey State Parole Board that we had too many of us, over 60% of us in the prison system. Whether it was, we know it's by the design, but we also know we participated in the design. So we did things like the boxing, inviting celebrities. One in particular was Mike Tyson. And one day we saw over 5,000 students at the Dunn Center traveling throughout the state to encourage the importance of education. We had the champions advocating the same thing. Riddick Bowe, working with Larry Hazard during that time, to foster that which they were entertained by. But the fish never see the hook until we bite into the bait. We only use boxing as the bait. Well, that was a big reason for why we was doing what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to encourage the young mind, whether they were young or in between ages or older, according to the systems. That is what we use the boxing event for. And that, for the most part, we did not track like we did with the Vaginal Scholars to see how many people, and this is the moral aspect of the business. Whenever we do something, not about showtime at the Apollo, we want to track to see what is the measured outcome and results of what we're doing so we can do it better and correct what we, if we made mistakes, so we can do it better, so we can bring about this evolutional change for the whole of humanity, especially for the ex-slaves. In my soul, my heart, and my spirit, I will never forget the history of my people. In my soul, in my spirit, I will never forget of one humanity. So I did what I had to do. Never satisfied, because there's still, as my friend Dr. P. Roy Vaginos have said, and those who I grew up amongst in our community, African American descent, we still have a lot of work to do.
We have a great deal of work to do. You mentioned the martial arts. Brother Ibrahim is a recipient of prestigious awards in the martial arts, for example, the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, Harris Fulcroy Humanitarian Award, Essex County Positive Image Award, and has received recognition for community service from former President George Bush Sr., to name a few. So I want to pause here and talk about the martial arts for a minute. This is a form of conditioning, a form of discipline. So you gave Murad Muhammad sponsors. I'll show his black belt. But actually, Murad shared with me that he didn't start traveling with Muhammad Ali until this was obtained. So we're talking about legacy and history, so we're talking decades ago. But let's bring this up to present day. A few weeks ago, you awarded him his fifth belt, master. You yourself are a master in martial arts, kata, weaponry, and kung fu. Can you speak about the award to Murad Muhammad or the belting of Murad Muhammad and a little more about the martial arts, if you would, please?
First, recognizing those shoulders that I'm standing on. And then talk about my brother, the uncle, the Honorable Murad Muhammad. And I'll tell you why I say honorable. It is indeed appropriate. I'm not concerned about opinions of others. I'm concerned about only that I know what I know. I bear witness. I was trained by the late James Cheatham, Professor Ronald Duncan, from New York City. They called him the Father Ninjutsu. And Dr. Moses Powell. They were both, three of them, known as the best practitioners on the East Coast. Dr. Moses Powell was the best jiu-jitsu practitioner. I paid the price of going through what I went through. My mentor that promoted me to professorship, because he had people come from all over this country, California, Chicago, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Georgia. They came from all over the country. They called him the eighth wonder of the world. Kevin Brown Thompson. They called him, during the years ago, Lil K.A., but not Lil K.A. In the end, he was and is. He made his transition a year ago. The eighth wonder of the world for God. He was noted as the professor. My fourth, fifth, and sixth dom came from Moses Powell and Ronald Duncan. Shaquille promoted me to professorship. He says, Ibrahim, the work you have done, got to know what you're doing. Because it's not just about the physical. And it's about a good martial artist, whether it's boxing or karate, jiu-jitsu, or kempo, weaponry. A good martial artist is also a servant. He is a servant. So he saw that in me as well. Right now, a proclamation is being made up of me, with the background of my instructor, Jim Cheatham. On his right is Ronald Duncan. On his left is Moses Powell. And in the center of that poster will be Kevin Brown Thompson. We call him Shaquille. And all of them on that poster, I will be their shadow. You will see me as their shadow. But to be a servant and a practitioner in the art is the ultimate of a professor, is the ultimate of a fifth dom, is the ultimate of a tenth dom, is the ultimate of being a doctor. When I say a doctor, a healer of minds and people and spirit and character. Murad Muhammad, the Honorable Murad Muhammad. This young man, there was a plaque given to my godmother Jennings, who's the only one that has a museum in Brooklyn, New York, that looked like you and I. She was given a plaque by a brother by the name of Jonah Cooper called The Business of Belief. Jonah Cooper's brother was a boxing contender in the heavyweight, Burt Cooper. I gave that plaque to Murad Muhammad because of his speech in the business world as a top boxing promoter in the world. This really stimulated me. Not only was he a courageous martial arts practitioner, oh, he'll tell you that, can't nobody beat him. Now, that is the courage of David. That is the courage of a lion. Not only was it applicable to martial arts in its physical feats, but it was also applicable to doing business. I looked at this young man, this brother. I'm just a few years older than him, but I looked at him even during the time that it was not popular to be a Muslim in America. During the time of Muhammad Ali, during the time of Elijah Muhammad, during the time of Hagan Ali Shabazz, better known as Malcolm X, it was not popular. Murad Muhammad was yelling to the top of the roof, "I am Murad Muhammad." He wasn't ashamed of his faith. He wasn't tied in his faith. He was proud and really motivated that Allah has blessed him to go to the mountaintop and know that he is an Asiatic, that he is Muslim. And guess what, Sister Talima Muhammad? Many of them who call themselves Muslims will only be Muslims in private, but they will not be Muslim in public. Murad Muhammad did not care like Muhammad Ali did not care. He raised his voice to the top of the roof. Wherever he went, whoever he spoke to, "I am Murad Muhammad." And he kept doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And they loved him and they liked it because why? It was not that name along in the footsteps of the prophets, a name that is praiseworthy and worthy of praise, Muhammad. But he walked the example of what he stood for. I looked at him, I said, "I want to give to you, my brother, the fifth don, which is a master in the art, like he's a master in the business. I want to give to you the fifth don because you stood up like a mountain. And for that, I love him for that. And I appreciate him for that."
It's your close word. Yes, sir. It's so funny because when he started out many years ago, you were a lieutenant. And you would assign him various assignments. One being cleaning the rooftop and cleaning garbage cans.
With his alligator shoes.
With his alligator shoes and his iron suit. What did you think about that?
I knew. The general order number one, to quit my post only when properly relieved.
Yes, sir.
He never complained. He could have on a custom-made suit and alligator. It did not matter. He was a soldier. He took orders. Yes, sir. No, sir. And you should hear him call Cadence for the FOI.
Oh.
Captain John, you should hear him call Cadence for the FOI. Forward out of half step. Murad Muhammad. I said to my brother, "I want to talk about you while you live, while I live. We have been so accustomed to going to funerals, and we do not respect life while we live."
Yes, sir.
"You smell your roses now." I met him at Dunkin' Donuts in West Orange to give him the plaque for my godmother, who was
the cousin of Jack Johnson, the boxer, who was the cousin of James Weldon Johnson, lift every portion sing. The African-American. I gave him that plaque because he upheld, regardless of what the soothsayers and the backbiters say, they're insignificant in reward, and our reward is with Allah. Not me. I gave it to him. I met him at Dunkin' Donuts. I kept pushing it. But Rod, you got to let me do this. And then we just did it recently when we did it at an event a few weeks ago in Roselle with his family there. So I felt very, very appreciative and happy. Like I feel appreciative and happy to propose as we move forward to Evangelos and his wife, like President Carter, who's another icon of history. But to get Dr. Vangelos and his wife, I'm just as motivated to get them the Presidential Medal of Freedom while we live.
Yes, sir. Outstanding. While they live. You know, we're speaking about so much history and legacy, and not just for a short period of time, but through decades, through the times. Let's speak about your godmother, Miss Edith Savage Jennings, for nearly 60 years. She served in the civil rights movement with attendees such as a specific tribute to her, Dr. Coretta Scott King, Yolanda King, former Mayor David Dinkins, former Governor Tom Kane, Assemblyman Louis Greenwald, Ms. Rosa Parks, and other dignitaries. And may Allah be pleased with those who have transitioned. But if you could speak about these historical times and service of Miss Edith Savage Jennings.
My godmother, may she rest in peace with all of those great icons. She returned to Allah at the age of 93. She had visited 12 presidents. And I can say this now because she would not mind me saying it. Her last president was meeting with President Obama and Michelle. And she treated people for lunch in Newark, at the hotel in Newark. She came back after meeting the 12th president before she passed. And she said to everybody sitting at the table, and it was the angels talking, not her. She says, I thought Obama would be more like Martin, but he's not. She says, the only person that I know that have Martin's characteristics is Ibrahim. I lowered my head. She was a straight talker. She did not pull any punches. Her favorite first lady was Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. Her second first lady that she admired, who was warm, was Laurel Bush. Her work and her labor was similar to that of Mrs. Rosa Parks, who played the role of her mother when she got married in her second marriage. There were several curators from New York City studied the most active woman in the civil rights movement since Harriet Tubman. They tracked and they did the historical research. It wasn't Dorothy Hines. It wasn't Shirley Chisholm. It wasn't Mrs. King. It was the Honorable Edith Savage Jennings. And they developed a museum in her name called the Edith Savage Jennings Legacy Museum in Brooklyn, New York, a beautiful brownstone. Today, that museum still stands. For her great work, she was a sister to the Honorable Coretta Scott King. She was the last person to speak to Dr. King before he died. The King, as she said, was always late getting on his flight. But this particular day that he was assassinated, he called Mrs. King, Cora, to get Edith on the phone. And he asked Mrs. King not to be on the phone. And she said to her, Edith, Sister Edith, I want you to promise me one thing. This is the day that he was assassinated. If something happens to me, I want you to promise me that you will look out for Cora and the children. She says, oh, Martin, go ahead. You're always late. He would not get off the phone until she promised him. Kept her word right to the end at her expense. The Honorable Edith Savage Jennings, I was with her when she attended Mrs. Coretta Scott's funeral. We were standing in front of Dr. King's house on Sunset Avenue. She was in a wheelchair because she could not walk. But as the bishop said at her funeral, she says, Mrs. Jennings did more than any of you all in the wheelchair than you all did running. Standing Dr. King's home on Sunset Avenue, standing to my right was Dr. King's sister, Mrs. Farris. In front of me was Ethel Shabazz, Malcolm's daughter, before we got into the family limousine to proceed to go to Mrs. King's funeral. For all of those years, she worked to fight racism in Africa. She was very adamant about what was happening with diapers, with foster children. She had a passion. She was used even when she knew she was being used. She stood up for what she believed in, and she never made money. She was like the Honorable Rosa Parks. At her 80th birthday, Mrs. Rosa Parks gave Mrs. Jennings the Presidential Medal of Freedom that she received because Mrs. Rosa Parks was in a nursing home at the time. And Mrs. Rosa Parks sent her representative from Detroit to give that to Mrs. Jennings. So today I humbly am sad with an understanding. Oprah did come and try to do something for Mrs. King. Regardless of who they were, whether it was Paul Robeson or Mrs. King, because Dr. King said, when I leave here, I won't leave no money behind. My godmother told when her and Mrs. King met with FCLC, Abernathy was there, Jesse was there, Lowry was there. They told Mrs. King, Coretta, you go home and take care of the four children. We're going to give you Martin's salary for 3 years. It was $12,000. Mrs. King had no money. Mrs. Jenny got with her to her, you know, after they left that meeting with SCLC, she says, Coretta, why didn't you say anything? Mrs. King says, I know what I'm going to do. So when I look at the struggle, the sacrifices, we don't even use that word anymore, the dedication of icons and those who sacrificed, who showed us we're standing on today, I'm sad with an understanding.
Yes.
The understanding keeps me from getting an aneurysm and keeps my blood pressure from going up because I know at the end of the day there is no God but Allah, and He will be the final decision in the day of judgment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Ibrahim Sharif. Thank you for that history, his imperative to keep working forward in this platform. This platform, is bringing this history not only to our community, to the world community. For your works, again, to the Honorable Ibrahim Sharif. In the year of 2002, you were appointed an ex officio of the New Jersey Holocaust Commission.
Oh, yes.
Speak about that for a few minutes.
I was the executive director of the Martin Luther King Commission. Sitting in my office, this elderly gentleman came. His name was Dr. Paul Winkler, Jewish brother. And he said to me, Jeff Moss told me about you. He says, I want you to go to his route. He says, but I want you to be an ex officio on the Holocaust Commission for the state. He was also responsible for the curriculum of the Holocaust Commission in the state of New Jersey in the area of education that is mandated by the legislatures. I looked at Dr. Winkler. First time I met him, I knew he was sincere. And I said, I would do it on one condition, what you're asking me to do. If you would support incorporating Amistad in the school district. The legislators passed it, but they did not fund it. That is what I said to Dr. Paul Winkler. At that point, there's another story. I had to leave the Martin Luther King Commission because of politics, but Dr. Paul Winkler passed away. But that's what I did. He had agreed to do that. Bill Payne has been trying for over 20 years or better to get the funding to teach teachers and to train the trainers about the history and the plight of our people. It's all right to say June 10th and everybody do everything that we see that is positive, but we need more than that. We need our children to know our history. And the reason I was so adamant about that, I went to a school in Plainfield, New Jersey, doing African-American History Month. February, and one of the children wrote with that sincere little hand that Dr. Martin Luther King is the one that freed the slaves. So I am not complacent in my spirit. I have to suffer with an understanding because I know I can only do but so much with other good people whose intent is honorable. So,
yes, sir. I want to mention here, because it's a good segue, you mentioned the Amistad bill. My Aunt Rosalind Smith, who also worked for Merck Company Incorporated, and of course you knew her as well, and this is recorded in the newspapers, the Star Ledger specifically, the Union newspapers. One of her missions was to work with our young people, and she did, and she started a rite of passage program in the city of Raleigh. She too worked with the mayor's Kennedy at the time and the current mayor. And a lot took her home 1 year ago in January. But she was able to get the Amistad bill passed. And it was interesting because she was just going after the curriculum for Raleigh high schools, you know, school system, not just the high school, but the school system. And she was able to get that bill passed for Union County schools as well. So there was a correlation there of you working right there in Raleigh. And I wanted to pause because that Amistad bill was passed in Raleigh and for Union County schools to show how people of like minds, not even knowing, correlate their works. Before we go, Brother Sharif is Executive Director for the Irvington International Trade Commission and member of the American African Asia Chamber of Commerce, American Asia Amity Association, and he was the keynote speaker at the United Nations 13th Annual Celebration for the Season of Nonviolence, honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez. He has been honored to work with the official of the United Nations, also known as Season of Nonviolence, and the International Day of Peace. Would you tell us a little bit about this, please?
I start thinking about, always say, whatever I've done, by the grace of Allah, my children have done also because I wasn't home.
Yes, sir.
So the way I think about you and Sister Alice O and your dad, moving forward on what you've asked me to do, I went to China 3 times. The first 2 times I went for 2 weeks. The 3rd time I went for a month. The Asian, it's called the 4A. The Asian American Amity Association is like the Chamber of Commerce. I visited 30 provinces. I took Mayor Smith with me and several other people came with me, including Amir Pasha Salahuddin, the Honorable Amir Pasha Salahuddin, for facilities. We toured their education facilities, their businesses and how they work in making your cell phones, your clothing, et cetera. We went and we visited their hospitals. This is a country that has about 1.4 or 1.5 billion people. It reminds me of something that the Imam Muhammad said when he went to China. He says, there may be a communist country, but I saw God in their deeds. I saw the works of Allah.
Mm.
And the respect that they gave us, because I was told before I went by someone, not to mention their name, that they're very racist. And that's something that I don't pay attention to until I see it. I can't get what you're saying for seeing what you do. I stayed in one hotel, a 6-star hotel, underground mall that was built in China with mannequins that look like you and I as African Americans. I've never seen that. And I went to their schools where the children were taught and mandated to do art, and also mandated to speak more than one language. The sciences, the math, I witnessed all of this. And as we went to where they have their medical institutions. And I'll never forget this. I went to a hospital, I forgot the province. The hospital, when you pulled into their complex, there was a waterfall playing Mozart.
Mm.
The hotel rooms were feng shui, painting and plants to healing. There was a mosque. There was a Buddhist temple. There was a Catholic church, all in the one complex. Yes, we saw shanties, but we saw people get up in the morning with those straw brooms sweeping and cleaning their neighborhoods.
Yes,
what inspired me kind of reminds me of Wadu when we was doing back during the teachings of the man Muhammad when he first came on board. Let's clean up our neighborhoods.
Yes, sir.
You know, we don't have to live in blight and filth. Minister James Shabazz said once, I've said emphatically, he said, you may be able to take the Negro
out of the ghetto, but can you get the ghetto out of the Negro? And we have to take on these responsibilities. And the most profound thing that Ibrahim Sharif saw, I saw a senior citizen parade. I cannot even senior citizen parade where they respect their elders, not rob them or kill them, but respect their elders.
Yes.
Respect. And then as I look from one province to the other, I says, where are the older people in the business, in the hotel? They got all the young people running the businesses. The older people just look and watch, and they make sure that they are not perfect in no way. Only Allah is perfect. But they made sure that the people are taking care of the elders. Now, from that point, as I moved from going, it also went to Africa. I had no intent of going to none of these places. And I say today, as I would say, even when I didn't know it, even I would say in my grave, Allah is the driver and I am the passenger. I go wherever he takes me. And I witnessed in Africa the slave castle. I was with the Lozi, Harvey. The slave castle, I saw where they kept our people. At the slave castle. I went to the door of no return. I went to the dungeons where they kept them in a 9-by-12 room, 300 people. I walked on their fossils where they defecated. I saw the room where they kept the women who refused to be raped when they starved them to death. I saw where they kept the children. And when I went to the door of no return, I felt like I felt when I lost my mom. I came back to the United States and I wasn't feeling well. I thought I had contracted something. That wasn't a problem. I went to my doctor. He's holistic. And he did all my vitals, but he also did an EKG. He said, Mr. Sharif, the voltage to your heart is too low. He says, where have you been?
Oh, my goodness.
You got it, Sister Salima Muhammad. I was grieving what I felt for my ancestors. I was out of work for 3 weeks to try to get my heart back up to speed because I was feeling the suffering of our people from that inhuman situation at the slave castle. And I did that, and I went through all of that, and I saw in the Holocaust Commission and all of those things, one of the attributes of Allah is the evolver. I don't know what will be tomorrow.
Yes.
And I said to my son, and my son Omar Sharif, when I make my transition, it's okay. I can understand when the Honorable Martin Luther King said, I've been to the mountaintop. I don't intend to go anywhere anytime soon, as only by Allah's permission. But I said, put on my plaque a tear and on my grave that would say, Allahu Akbar, and I wish I could have stayed a little bit longer to do Allah's will. But I hope I answered all of your questions, Salima.
Yes.
And the United Nations, I'll comment on that briefly, if you don't mind.
Please proceed.
I had no idea. Allah's the driver, and I'm the passenger. I go wherever he takes me. And he will bring good people. He works through good people. My first interaction at the UN in the General Assembly, I was invited there by my brother, George Anthony, the Season for Nonviolence. The action was a platform where Dr. King's children, Yolanda, and Mahatma Gandhi's two grandchildren were sitting there in the UN. Mahatma Gandhi's children was calling him Papa. Yolanda was talking about her father. As I evolved at the UN, working there with George Anthony over the years, taking pictures with Minnie Jean Brown from the Arkansas 9 period of history.
Yes, sir.
I was there with Dr. C.T. Vivian. May he rest in peace. I was there when I was just volunteering my services when we was honoring people like Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. King, and Cesar Chavez, the Dalai Lama, all of them, I was there. Then they asked me to speak, and I did not want to do that. What can I say that have not already been said? The General Assembly was being renovated, so they had the United Nations event at Susan Wagner School in Staten Island. They asked me to be the keynote speaker. I grapple with that because I'm talking to the minds of people that I, number one, do not want to disrespect. I'm representing Al-Islam by my name, by my behavior, by my character, but I also know that in Islam, we don't deal with labels, we deal with deeds. We recognize all people of goodwill and good faith. So I was the keynote speaker. There was about 1,500 people in the audience. You could see the United Nations there. And as I spoke, I asked the audience if I could take my tie off, and they said yes. Then I said to them, you know, I thought about running for Congress. I was having a conversation with Imam Waqidi Muhammad. I thought about having that conversation with them. I said, I thought about running for Congress after I left Merck & Company after 30 years. I had to let them know I worked there 30 years so they know that I'm safe, you know. And I said, someone said to me, well, Ibrahim, you don't have no experience. I said, what I see in Washington, I don't need it. And they went off. They went off. But I was the keynote speaker. And my speech was the cumulative of three people. Culture that what I was dealing with was the spirit of Dr. King and our ancestors. That's a hard thing to do. You can't do this. You have to talk for years. But I took that spirit and blended it with my audience there that was very diverse, with President Dwight Eisenhower, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I incorporated Franklin Delano Roosevelt's second Economic Bill of Rights that he wasn't able to see it through because he died in office. He was the president for 13 and a half years. Very powerful. President Dwight Eisenhower, I mentioned him because he talked about this invisible power that is controlling America, which we are bearing witness to it today.
Yes, sir.
Second, he told them be aware of the weapons industry complex.
Mm.
And he said, be careful of how you deal with the people in the Far East. They did not listen at all. I made a 15-minute presentation of those three great people in 15 minutes. You could not hear a pin drop. You could not hear a pin drop. I said one thing that I said in the 1960s, the late 1960s. The shock that will be heard around the world that we will look at ourselves in the name of God. I did not say Allah, but I knew what I meant, that we will look at ourselves as one humanity, that if you believe in God, the one God, and I'm sure we all do, and the prophets and the angels, there will be no differences between us. And I thank them for allowing me to speak, and I left the podium.
We have laughed. We have cried today. We must have you back because there's so much more to speak about and so much more work to do. So please visit us again here on Family Life. Brothers and sisters, the Honorable Ibrahim Sharif, despite exceptional achievements, he retained a humble attitude and continues on the diligent path to serve others. He is the proud father of 6 children, 9 grandchildren, and 1 great-grand. And I thank you for being with us here today. Brother Ibrahim, if you could provide information for those who may want to reach out and email, is fine. Before we close today.
Well, I can say the name, but you have permission to give out my email address and phone number.
Okay, we'll just get the email.
Yes.
Brother and sister, that is L as in Larry, G, Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R, 604 at gmail.com. Again, L-G, Pryor, P-R, Y-O-R, 604 at gmail.com. If you would extend your closing remarks, we would be most gracious. Thank you.
Very brief, Sister Salima Muhammad, the Honorable Murad Muhammad, and in the spirit of our ancestors and those who have sacrificed their lives and shoulders that we're standing on, it is imperative that we be true to who we are. We are Muslims. We cannot be Muslims today or Christians today. Muslims on a Friday at Juma, Christians on a Sunday in the church, and after that it's over. Minister James Shabazz said this, there will come a time when there will be a famine in the land. It wouldn't be a famine of food. It would be a famine to hear the word of God. The universe is so giving to us and we never get a bill. We must never forget that Allah is supreme. The shaitan is insignificant. I love all of you all of the human family. May God continue to guide us and protect us and our families and our children. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Smith.
Thank you. And to the listening audience, this program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence. So that it speaks. Please join us again next week. And thank you again, brothers and sisters, the Honorable Ibrahim Sharif. Have a wonderful Saturday and weekend. As-salamu alaykum.